Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name is John, and this week we'll be talking to Sharon Weitzman, the CEO and co-founder of Shield FC, a regtech that uses advanced analytics and machine learning for compliance functions, and we'll find out what that means. Please hit subscribe to keep up with this and the latest in FinTech news. Joining me this week is my co-host, Monica. Welcome.
Hey, John.
Hey, and our guest is Sharon Weitzman of Shield FC. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me, John and Monica. Nice to be here.
Great, great. So why don't you start us off with who you are and what you guys do?
Solving a problem around compliance and data management in this sense. And to be honest, what I'm doing at the moment, the reason we established Shield was based on a real-time problem that I faced when I was dealing with customers, and the company was established from real problems, not from me being super excited to develop something, because between ourselves, I am not the one developing it. We have a very strong technical team sitting in Israel. But identifying the problem and the challenges and the lack of solutions for that in the market.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody complains about this.
Yeah, it's... It was mainly as financial firms in Europe were preparing themselves for some of the European regulation, such as MiFID II and market abuse regulation, and they were looking into the American regulations, such as the Dodd-Frank one and the FINRA regulation, and looking there for kind of guidelines, because Americans were, the North American regulation is a little bit more advanced, or they were there before, if we are looking on the on what happens after 2008. So the US regulation was a little bit faster to be deployed, and setting the scene and setting the rules for the financial firms, where as a result, most of the financial firms in the U.S. are more compliant, I would say, in our domain than the Europeans. Then, as the wave of regulation in Europe started to pace up, that came a big change and a huge pressure on the financial players in Europe. Yes, Monica.
Sharon, one of the things that I'd really like to hear, and I think our listeners would as well, is for your customers and your potential customers, what are some of the reasons that they need RegTech to help them run their business? Can you walk us through some of those cases?
I will talk mainly about our view and what we see currently in the market, and why is this really a rise of RegTech companies, and what is the need for that? But the main driver for technology back then came from the banks themselves. So the status was that suddenly they had a regulation to adhere with. Let's say in Europe it was MiFID I, there was a similar regulation in the States. A group of people sit down together and say, okay, we need to start do something about it. Establish the task force. Of course, I'm simplifying things, but establish a task force within the bank, and then the IT reference was started to look for an IT solution. And a project created an implementation or a solution within a bank. We call it a point solution, but it's kind of a silos of created silos of solutions within a bank.
So, sorry, I just want to make sure that we understand. So what you're saying is that regulators would make a rule, and then financial firms would basically solicit technology that would help them comply with that particular rule. It wasn't necessarily around how do we more efficiently run our business. It was like, no, we have to do this one thing according to the letter of the law.
Absolutely. It's checking at the moment, it's checking the boxes. I believe that we are starting to see a process now. I'm talking about, let's say, 10 years ago. Okay. We look a little bit ahead in the year coming. We will be where we want, where we just described, where we would like to see the technology also working for us and bring us a little bit more than just ticking the box. But 10 years ago, and also if we are looking it at the moment, it's still, what do we have to do in order to be compliant? Or how can technology help me be compliant at the moment? Why? First of all, because I have to. Second of all, because I have to report or to create the data or to do something according to the regulation. What happens in the last few years, and I would say mainly since the financial crisis of 2008, but what happened since then is that startups and other more established firms starting to take this from the other angle. How can we bring new technology and innovation and offer it to the bank? So not, it's not the IT organization of the bank looking for a solution. It's not pull, but push, if we are talking technology. How can we take that and bring efficiency into a very old and very non-efficient domain? And this is what we are trying to do, and other vendors are trying to do very, I would say, bravely into the financial markets. I'm saying bravely because it's always hard for any bank or any investment bank to purchase just a new software from a startup. It's clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
You know, no
especially
one
this area. This is a very sensitive area for the bank.
Exactly.
How do you overcome that kind of thing? Especially a new company.
There is an understanding with customers or with banks. Or, by the way, I'm not talking only about banks. I'm generalizing, right? It's basically any buy side or sell side. There is a much more understanding and being open for innovation. And this is some of the good things that happens in the last few years. It's much
the culture
more open.
And the environment is more open, even at the largest banks.
Even in the largest bank, you see all the largest banks are establishing innovation hubs and accelerators and more. Is that enough? No. I believe that there need to be a clear ecosystem around RegTech startups, the banks, and regulators that will be able to cooperate together in order to bring the full scale of innovation and the capabilities into it. And if you ask, the major problem in that domain is access to data. Right, and the banks hold the data, and unless you are working with the bank or with the customer, you don't have access to the data. But that's a different problem or a different challenge. There is still a challenge of trust, right? How can a financial firm that used to buy only from Gartner-rated vendors and big firms, how can they buy from a startup? And in this sense, we see more and more firms open for these capabilities and for innovation coming from companies like us. And more than that, it has a more for us to prove and to bring something new to the table, more to resolve things more efficiently, to bring business value, to do things faster and better than any other firm that was operating in that domain or in the, related areas around it that could have deployed some of their solution to address some of the problem. And I believe this is what we are doing, not only in Shield, but I'm talking collectively about young startups that are operating in this tough area. And there is a clear inefficiency within this domain. Very clear. And wherever there is an inefficiency,
we would definitely agree with you that there are clear inefficiencies inside financial firms. I would really be excited to hear you talk about kind of, we've got this big gap between the compliance mindset to the, okay, let's capture some of those inefficiencies. What's happening in that space? What are some of the inefficiencies that you and some of your competitors are focused on?
People, so we are ending up now with a situation where almost 20% of the operational cost in a firm, in a financial firm, from the P&L, is related to risk and compliance. We are talking about 10 to 15% of the employees are compliance related, right? Last number that Citi has released was in 2014, and they had 30,000 compliance officers. That's 2013, and since then they haven't released. That's publicly available, by the way. In the way, just search Citi compliance. But what it brings, it's also something that we call the compliance. I think not only us. I think also other things. But there's something that is called the compliance arm race. Everyone now are looking for compliance people because everyone are all the banks or all the financial firms are trying to staff and recruit more and more compliance people to be able to address regulations. And because of that, there is a race to attract more and more compliance people. So compliance salary is raising up as a result. So the cost is for the bank is going up as well. Is increasing as well. And we are kind of in a loop here. And so there are more regulations, more changes to the regulation in React, or the way that the regulator react to that and expecting the firms to react to that is bringing more and more compliance people. More and more compliance people cost more and bringing more processes internally and more to manage these. And, you know, more people, we are saying in Israel, you are putting two Israelis in a room, you have 10 opinions, right? So let's say that you are putting 10 compliance officers in a room. I don't know how many opinions you have.
It's very hard to battle against. I mean, if you tell the regulator you're going to scale back your compliance and regulatory teams, even if it's with efficiencies, I mean, that's going to be a hard sell. They're not going to like that.
There is a point where it's simply becoming the inefficient. So your current systems and your current processes and the amount of compliance officers and the things that you're doing are simply not good enough. And we can see it. We can see it in the hard facts. The fact is that there is no better compliance environment, right? It is a fact that we are. Let's say that since 2008, the total fines for financial firms worldwide is something around $350 to $360 billion. If you take on average the investment that a firm is doing in the compliance and risk and compliance, is that improving the actual compliance? Is that mitigating the risk? Some should argue. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not, because we still see them getting fines like hell, and still doing all kind of interesting stuff and creative ways to create more and more, I would say, better transaction and revenue. And we don't think that adding more people is bringing a more compliant environment. So first of all, before you go to an institute or to sell something, we need to be very clear that we are resolving a problem that they have, right? So they have a hard regulation that they need to resolve it now. One of the main challenges within this domain is that IT organization in the banks. And as bigger the organization is, the bigger the IT organization as well, everyone wants to develop it in-house. Or, you know, the concept of build versus buy. It's not the first time that you hear it. Yeah. And that's the first obstacle that you need to deal with, okay?
There's an entrenched power structure.
We are facing such a situation. We are saying to the bank, guys, your job is to generate transaction and to serve your customers or to trade or to sell or to be a broker firm. You are not a product developer. And unless you are taking it and marketing it and maintaining it or doing all kind of other things, let software companies to be able to handle it. But remember, we talked about the ecosystem. So in order for our products or RegTech software to be better, we need access to better data. And the data is held by the banks. Therefore, they need a cooperation here. This is why the ecosystem is important. This is why we need to have a kind of a more collaborative approach in order to address a problem. And like in other other industries and other challenges in life, take the cyber challenge, right? Banks or any enterprise are facing the same challenge. Is there a cooperation between them and between them and the vendors? Probably not. Why? Because this is how it's structured. And who is benefiting from this? The hackers, the bad guys. In our case, not everyone are bad guys, but there are guys that are trying to find the malfunction there, the gap between the
weaknesses.
Between the them. The weaknesses, yes. This is the kind of I think that this is the next phase in our industry. How can it be more collaborative approach between vendors to financial firms to regulators, right? And regulators have a key stake here because they need to state clearly what they are requesting and also suggest alternatives. So they need to give recommendation, and they also need to facilitate thoughts. They need to facilitate also this collaboration. But this is kind of it will take a few more years for that to happen.
When you talk about this kind of collaboration and cooperation, can you share a specific example from your dream list?
Let's take something that we are dealing with, okay? We are providing a compliance platform that handles all sorts of data, including electronic communication, trade, financial data, and we are providing a full holistic platform in order to be able to detect, first of all, to manage the data and to conduct investigation, but also to detect anomalies and a potential inside dealing, a market abuse, and other cases like that happens on a daily basis. If we have access, or if we will have access to the data, and in that case, I believe that this is something that the regulator need to facilitate as part of their sandbox programs. Yeah, you heard about it all across the world. Every regulator is opening a sandbox. If they will be able to facilitate something like that, which is an environment of sharing data, this is where data can be a facilitation or can help us with innovation. And by access to the data in our domain, by access to the data, again, masked and kept on privacy and anonymized and all of this, but that will allow us to develop patterns and detection scenarios and provide a much better samples to train technology.
Yes, fingers crossed. You've got different regulators who would be in a position to create that bigger, more robust sandbox. What region of the world do you think might go that use that model first for financial data?
That's a good question.
I think that the predict the future.
Yeah, well, I think that so far the most active ones we have seen are the American regulators and the UK regulators. Okay. They are some of the more active ones that are also very interested in speaking with RegTech firms and to study what are the capabilities of technologies today. So I think this is where there is a much more, first of all, more resources, but more open for to study things that are coming from the outside. So because what we are offering here is a technology to deal with the law, to deal with the regulation requirements, which again in the past were just stuffing up more and more lawyers and more compliance team. And they also understand that there is a point where the burden on the banks will be just too high. And they need to accept that there is there need to be some efficiency put in place, and not only efficiency, but perhaps that some things can be done better. You know, simple things like automating routine work. In our domain, in what we're doing, it's a purely manual domain. purely manual domain. Compliance officer is going and collecting data from here and from here and from here, printing an Excel spreadsheet, trying to compare, trying to listen to the course, trying to read. Very manual. Very manual. It's great. It's great for consulting firms that are selling headcounts, but is it efficient? Yeah. Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah, there is, you know, where is innovation? Where innovation comes? Where there is an inefficiency? Where there is a sweet point where, by technology, you can resolve some anomaly, some problems, some challenges. And here we have several challenges: growing regulations, endless amount of changes in regulation. There is recently I read that there are almost 200 changes in regulation a day, all kind of regulations, right? But 200 changes a day. That firms need to follow up on this and take actions. So changes in the different regulations, growing amount of regulation, growing changes, growing the change of the communication channels. In the past, you look at us in 2008. In 2008, it was a trader or a sales guy or in a firm that mostly communicated via the phone, right, or in an email. Now, since 2008, we are communicating less on the phone, more on an email, and more on chats, and different chats. So I'm now discussing only with my team via WhatsApp and Microsoft Teams, and we have Skype for Business, and we are now communicating on Skype, endless amount of communication channels, and that's creating huge amount of data that you need to do something with the data. The regulator is forcing you to keep the data and to be able to prove something after a while. So the technology is good for the business, right? This growing, everything that I'm describing is good for the firms. They are, at the end of the day, it enables them to communicate better with their customers, retail customers, corporate customers, doesn't matter. It allows them to communicate better and faster with their customers and to sell more and to provide more services. Therefore, the value of the banks has been grown dramatically as well, and as well as the income and the revenue. But it also poses compliance challenges. There are good and bad in everything, but here, simply need to deal with that.
Is the most important feature, is the skill set, the value that you bring in the NLP, the language processing and understanding to evaluate that information, that skill set to the bank, the proficiency that you're bringing?
Maybe in 2 minutes. As I described, there is a lot of data points, a lot of communication channels, a lot of different data entries that the banks need to monitor, or any financial firms need to monitor and consolidate and to aggregate and to save it for a period of time. And sometimes it's 5 years, sometimes it's 7 years, and to be able to reconstruct an event if the investment happened or didn't happen, by the way. He needs to be able to reconstruct something upon request from the regulator. This is the demand. In the U.S., in FINRA and in the Dodd-Frank cases, it's 72 hours. This is the requirement. In Europe, it's depending on the country, it's between 28 hours to 120 hours.
So that's the time they have to reply to a request of all the data related to a transaction?
Yes. Even if the transaction didn't happen, and at least in Europe, this is the case. If it didn't happen in the state, I think the transaction need to happen, need to take place, or need to be an execution. So they have 72 hours to provide the full data logging, let's say, of a transaction. And by the way, the transaction can take place 3 years ago, and now I have a dispute, and a potential dispute can be that I requested you to sell 100 shares, and you sold 100,000 shares. Right, you just heard it, and it can be as simple as that. I heard a cool story about about exactly such a dispute between a trader and a guy and a broker, and this is now in court, of course, and the firm need to prove this. The financial firms need to come and prove it with all the data that they have, and if they cannot prove it, they have a problem. And that goes for any communication channel that they have, or that they are allowing their employees to use, even if it's text or if it's WhatsApp, and if they are allowing their employees to Twitter or to pose advices or communication with their customers in LinkedIn, everything. Everything needs to be logged and audited and to be able to reconstruct it within a single within a certain time frame. And there is an ongoing requirement from the regulator. So you need to have something that is called control and oversight. You need to be able to as a management of the firm, you need to be able to say, hey, I have an ongoing control and oversight on my traders and employees of everything related to this. To this activity. Mm-hmm. And that in turn means that compliance officers need to conduct ongoing investigations. And then just to make it more complicated, they have multiple regulations and they have multiple jurisdictions and they have multiple issues. So they have an entity in the States where they need to be subject to FINRA or Dodd-Frank or both, two or three regular authorities, and they need to be subject to European regulation and they need to be subject to local privacy regulations. And all of this deals with the data that they have. And so different regulations, same data across multiple countries. That's a challenge. And then they need to be able to pull this data in a certain time. Now, from an IT perspective, everything that I'm describing at the moment is sitting in different systems, mm-hmm. silos. Each one of them is a different data source that is being managed individually and not connecting. Now, try to look for the data in manually in each data source with a different interface and with a different without any ability to interconnect between the different data types.
And sometimes decades apart in technology.
Yeah, exactly. And then you find, as I describe, try to describe before, you find your compliance officer, when they're dealing with the thing that we are providing, they need to go to at least 4 to 8 different platforms to look for the data. It takes ages. It's a manual work that they need if they have access to the data. Sometimes they don't have access or authority to access the data, so they need to ask IT to provide them this information. Another inefficiency, another process involving the internal IT, asking questions, asking the trader and the sales guys if they can approve to send their private information, because it might be a private information involved there as well. The guy communicating with his wife about what he's bringing for dinner or if he needs to go for grocery, all kind of things can happen. And that's manual work. And then on top of that, he needs to print the order and transaction and to take it down to take an export or to export it or to an Excel and to try to understand out of all this messy data what actually happened and if there is an issue. Now, I don't think that this is an efficient way, and we see more and more financial firms deploying armies of compliance officers just to do what I described.
Just fetching data.
Trying to do such investigation and e-discovery and something. Not to mention other things such as false alerts or detection and getting false alerts on misconduct behavior or market abuse or inside dealing, mm-hmm. and these kind of things. And by managing everything in a silo or in a separate systems, cannot really utilize the full scale of technology here. Because since all this platform has been deployed, let's say in the last 10 or 20 years, big data has been introduced, but properly introduced, and now it's mature enough. NLP has been improved dramatically, and AI capabilities. We are only at the beginning of AI, and I don't want to talk too much about it because it's a little bit overused to my belief, but the ability to define models that will, using machine learning and combination of rule-based and NLP, kind of a little bit technology, are getting into a maturity that will allow us to be much more proactive in such work. So instead of all the inefficiencies that I described before, it will be almost by default they will get all the relevant interactions connected to that specific transaction by default, in the system.
How do you do that? So you, Shield FC, let's say you go to a firm. They have all these different systems, all these different. What's the solution? Is to run everything through you? I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
run other systems, or are you kind of like a filter that's capturing data between all these different? And then how do you even? I guess you have to customize for all the different data types. How do you even get it?
Yeah, it's not that complicated. I wanna believe, but what we are doing is basically the system is built from I would say three layers. First of all, we have a multi-source plugin that autonomously, almost autonomously, able to connect or to reach out and to connect to all of these data sources. Right. So meaning you have your email server using Exchange or Gmail or Google or whatever, or even we heard about IBM Lotus Notes, right? You have all your email servers, you have your voice recording platforms, you have your chat, all different, you have your order management system, your financial data, your execution system, all the different, you have your CRM, your Active Directory, any data type that you have in the organization, we basically have already built the platform that can, in our platform is already built, the ability to automatically connect to them. Just give me the location, just in the discovery that we're doing, just tell me what is the location, basically IP and password if it exists, IP and port, give me the location and I'll be able to reach out and acquire the data. That's the first part. It's called data acquisition. First of all, and we are making it simplified. So we are calling it IT friendly. We don't want to make it a very long IT operation to deploy something. So that's the first thing that we are doing. Then we are taking the data, and it, of course, you can understand that it's unstructured, most of it. So you need to make a structure out of it, and you need to normalize the data to make everything look the same and in the same format, and then to start to enrich it. So I know that you are John and you are Monica, but now I also know that you are based in this department, and your profile in Bloomberg or in Symfony or in the CRM is this, and you're responsible for these people and this department. I'm starting to get more and more, almost, you know, in if it's a statistical body, it's demographical, but almost everything, every relevant information that I can collect and attach to you as a profile, we are able to connect. So that's called an enrichment process. And then on top of that, we are starting to run NLP and AI capabilities, which the goal of this is to basically define what is the financial context out of each and every interaction and link it to an order or an execution or a cancellation. So the end goal is a native trade reconstruction in this sense, right? So what I described before, that will take 72 hours. Of course, it's based on it requires a lot of data and training of the system, but should be by default. It should be native as part of our platform. A huge capability in this sense.
Yeah. How accepting are the regulators of something that's automated? You know, do they have to audit your process and your company as well as an extension of the client firm?
I think we would welcome this, first of all.
Okay.
The problem with the regulators in this sense that they are trying to be independent or non-depending or not recommending on any technology. Okay, so if we will go and say, hey, this is what we are doing, the requirements is not on us, is on the regulated firm. So the regulated firm is the bank. And so they need to prove. So we need to provide them tools to prove what we are doing and what I just described. So in order to provide them the tools, you need to have reporting capabilities, and you have to have samples of data that hasn't run through it, and to always stress test this the thing that I just described, right? So we would love, and I'm saying it all along this interview, we would love to work with the regulators, honestly. We would love to work with them.
Okay, so you show them the process. So they haven't pushed you yet in any clients or anything to do that as of yet. You're prepared for that. You're in Denmark. The company's almost all in Israel. Are you there specifically for the EU coverage, or is that a separate?
No. We have decided that, first of all, our initial market to address is the European market. So because of the new regulations, and this is where we need to be. We had a question where to be, in the UK or in a different country. It also helped us that our first customer was here. So it made more sense for us to be.
Does Brexit matter for where you are?
Not really. Not to us as a company. It actually matters more to customers, because then there is a question, where is the data located? So that is even becoming even more critical to have a platform to handle the data. For a company like us, less. It just, you know, there will be more expenses coming or more spending from the banks because of that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, we've seen a lot of news releases saying, I forget which large banks, that they set aside 200 some million to relocate and handle issues around Brexit. But so I'm going to give you a hard time about your website. So you're the sales side. I want you to translate this from your website into English. You have an advanced multi-layer correlation analytic engine uses machine learning techniques. So what does that mean for regular people like me?
I'll try to explain it in plain English. So what our mission to our statement to our statement is that our platform is a cross regulation. So we don't want our customers to worry if they are now subject to a new regulation.
Oh, so that's the multi-layer part?
Yeah, but cross regulation is not a multi-layer, but multi-layer is the layer that I just described. So capturing layer, and on top of that a financial core, and on top of that analytical layer, and then a visualization layer, and other things like that. You're touching a good point. We are now refreshing our website and introducing new design. I promise that I will send both of you our new website when it comes live.
Yeah, right. The and it's simple is a big challenge. So
yeah, absolutely. Basically we are trying to resolve inefficiencies in the compliance work using technology, and I just described something that is called FCR, or financial context recognition, where we are trying to analyze each communication or each data points that we get in a financial context. So we don't just want to translate or transcribe or just to do Google Translate on something. We're trying to understand what is the financial relevancy of this, and what is the symbol, and what is the asset class, and what is the relevant issuer. What is the financial context out of any interaction, either human interaction or machine interaction that happened here? To do that, this is a combination of machine learning capabilities and a rule base and NLP, and this is where proprietary technology resides. We're using big data to handle massive amount of data, and we're talking scales of petabytes here.
So you, a lot of your team is this analytics and data science, and then the other half of the team have to interpret regulations, and or is that something that you outsource?
How do you handle?
It's like these two very complicated, tough areas.
Correct. And you're right. First of all, I wish I would have more of my team and more data scientists and more subject matter experts. But we have a mix in our team of data scientists and big data experts.
What I was thinking when you were talking about some of the ways that y'all collect data is, oh my gosh, employees who work for regulated firms, they just really need to keep their personal stuff off their work computers and phones, don't they?
First of all, you're absolutely right, but this is becoming a real and very hard issue. Also regulation, by the way, this is GDPR, and shortly, we don't know yet when, but a new regulation called e-privacy will come into life in Europe. which is a huge regulation and a huge issue for any enterprise, not only financial firm, but any enterprise, because all of us are dealing with our private data all over the place. And I'm always saying it's like the Big Brother show, that or like Survivor. After a few days, no one even remember that he is doing it, because we are used to deal with, we are used to send email, we are used to browse, we are used to send WhatsApp, and we are used to use all the tools that we get. We are used to call our wife and friends and significant others, and even other things that are to deal with all kind of things with our phone work or any device that we have, and that's becoming a big issue. The requirements, I believe, also by the North American regulators, but in Europe, the requirements and the obligation is on the firm itself. Either the data is related to customers of the firms or employees. So now we are in a situation where how the firm is going to understand what of everything that he was doing is related to personal data or to business data. What are the cases that he was speaking with his wife, and what is the cases that he was just chatting with his friends and talking about all kind of things that he doesn't want anyone to know? Okay, nothing to do with him trying to collude or trying to do some inside trading, but just talking about playing golf and how good he is and bragging. But he doesn't want this to be out. Now he is a citizen with rights. What then? What are they doing? What are they going to do then?
I have to say, like, his best choice would be to talk about golf on his personal phone.
No, but this is a big challenge for firms, really. Yeah, privacy is huge. It's going to be huge as well.
And Europe is in a very different place. So here in the U.S., and you know, it's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court multiple times. But what you as an employee do on a work computer is not protected, is not considered private, because simply by accessing a device that was provided to you by your employer, you've waived any expectation of privacy that you have. But I would not expect European regulators or European legislatures to have that same mindset. And so I think that this is a place where you'll see some really big divergences between the way Europe and the U.S. handle employee data, personal employee data on employer systems. But it seems really, really messy. And it's the kind of thing, when I have worked for regulated firms, I've just always used the mindset of, do I want to see this email on the front page of the Wall Street Journal? If not, I should not write it.
Yeah, that's a big challenge for, you know, young people who are used to oversharing so much on social media, and they see IM at work as just another vehicle like that. And we have to train ourselves that, and we're getting more and more warnings that the company owns this. The company has the right to watch, you know, your every keystroke, because they own that machine and that communication. But when parsing that out, that sounds near impossible.
What are we talking about?
You know, make sure you hit that swing, meaning a trade. You know, there's slang, idioms. I mean, that sounds like I don't know if that's even is that even possible?
How to do it, personal or non-personal? Well, this is really where, first of all, it is possible. Is it 100% accurate? Not yet. But like any model, it can be better and better over time. Is that possible to do it manually? Yes. But again, you need to increase your army of compliance for that. Again, this is not a financial regulation. This is a general regulation. There is a way to do that. The same, by the way, in a similar way that I am tagging all the e-coms or all the chats and every data points, if I'm categorizing it with a certain order or trade, what is the negative part of it, or what is the other side that it's not tagged? So then it is potential for private information. So then I need to channel it or to tunnel it through another set of engines that will define, is that a personal related, or is that a public thing? He was talking about other things that is not related to a transaction, or he was discussing a private communication. Now, again, is that accurate? Not yet, but it's getting there. You need to have massive amount of data. You need to manage all this data in one place. You need to have the ability to correlate everything. You need to apply some kind of analytical rules on all the data. And then based on that, you are able to define the private versus the public, to detect if there was an anomaly in something, which can need to flag, and then you need to take some legal actions, or what has been tagged is a very personal thing that you better mask at the moment. The market is not there yet, but it will get there. It has to get there because privacy is getting more and more important.
Mm-hmm. Music to my ears.
It is what the regulator, at least what the European regulators are mandating or demanding. And you're starting to see all these fines applying on all the big firms. Now it's starting from the big firms, but it will go down and into smaller and smaller firms. And it can be a real burden. Now, the outcome out of all these regulations, and I'm saying financial regulations, can be also a consolidation of firms that are, it's too much for them to handle all these regulations. So they need to come together or to be acquired by additional other firms in order to be able to handle all this massive amount of requirements, because all these requirements are expensive.
Thank you so much for really giving, I think, a lot of good context on where this space has come, kind of the historical context and to where we are today. I really found that interesting, and I'm sure our listeners will as well.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate your time. I'm sure you're very busy and hopefully nailing down those next clients. And good luck to you. Sounds like you're taking on a tough challenge on a lot of fronts there.
Thank you very much for your time. It was lovely speaking with you. Hope to see you again.
And again, that was the CEO and co-founder of Shield FC, Shadon Weitzman. Thanks again for joining us. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.